after Jesus had showed up and shown himself to Mary Magdalene, and after he had shown up to the broken-hearted disciples on their way to Emmaus, he shows up again to 10 of his apostles in the upper room. And when they saw him, they were terrified, afraid, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. The apostles believed at first they had seen a spirit or a ghost. Despite the words of the women, despite the testimony of the disciples from Emmaus, despite the empty sepulcher, the angelic visions, his presence, they admitted to themselves, could be accounted for in no natural way, since the doors were barred. Rebuking them for their unbelief as he did those disciples of Emmaus, he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have." It is likely that those doubting apostles actually touched the body of Christ. This may explain why Thomas later on demanded such a sign himself. So it was, by the nail prints in his hands, the scars on his feet and head, that they recognized him as the crucified one. They recognized him as their Lord and God. It was not that the cruel wounds were to be a reminder of the cruelty of men, but rather that by pain and sorrow, redemption had been wrought. If the scars had been removed, men may have forgotten that there was a sacrifice, and that he was both the priest and the sacrifice. Peter, James, and John had seen him transfigured when his garments were whiter than snow, but the rest of these disciples had only seen him as a man of sorrow. This was their first gaze upon a risen and glorious Lord. Those nail prints, this pierced side, these were unmistakable scars of a battle between sin and evil. If men had been left to themselves to form their own opinions of the risen Lord, they would never have represented him with the signs of his shame and agony on this earth. If it were not for these signs, men may have doubted him with the passing of time. But were those apostles convinced? Luke tells us, while they were still doubting and bewildered, the scriptures tell us that he asked for food to eat. So they gave him a piece of fish and a honeycomb. He took these and ate in their presence. Then they realized that it was not a phantom that they were seeing. To some extent, they believed in the resurrection, and that belief gave them joy. But the joy was so great they could hardly believe it. At first, they were frightened, too frightened to believe. Now they were too joyful to believe. But our Lord would not rest until he had completely satisfied their senses. Eating with them would be the strongest proof of his resurrection. Thus, he would convince them that it was the same living body which they had seen and touched and felt, but it was at the same time a body that was glorified. These wounds were not signs of weakness, but rather as glorious scars of victory. He had given some indication of what this glorified nature of his would be like in the transfiguration, when Moses and Isaiah spoke with him concerning his death. That was a promise and a pledge that corruption would be put on incorruption, and mortality would put on immortality, and death would be swallowed up in life. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.